And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, covering all of North Alabama. I'm talking about this show is down south of Birmingham, way up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back over to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and Mississippi thrown in just for good measure. Well, in a few minutes, we're going to go to a segment that we do periodically. And, you know, sometimes on resourcing the show, I find one woke story after another, and I finally think, okay, it's time for another one. And we do a thing we call Adventures in Woke World. And so we'll do that here in a few minutes. But what's interesting is this morning, as I was pulling together the storyline and the resourcing for this segment of the show, I found one story that just really struck me because, you know, I'm the daddy of a little girl who's now 30 and married. But nonetheless, I remember getting her an American Girl doll when she was young. And it was this thing that was supposed to be inspiring and sort of patriotic and sort of natural and wholesome. And it ain't no more. It's gone woke. Well, I just happened to, as I was getting ready for the show, I realized a friend of mine, Amy Beth Shaver, had written a piece on this for 1819 News just a couple of days ago. So I reached out to her this morning. Amy Beth Shaver is a former Miss Alabama. She has been politically active and active also in speaking on things like character and faith and politics. She wrote a book called Who Moved the Line about America's Character Crisis. And she is currently hosting a podcast for 1819 News and resides in Shelby County with her family. So with that being said, let me welcome my friend Amy Beth Shaver. Amy Beth, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you, Phil?
I'm good. Hey, thanks for making time for us on short notice.
Hey, you know what? Thanks for letting me come on your show. I appreciate it.
Well, absolutely. Listen, I guess we ought to give the background for what caught my attention first, the whole American Girl doll thing. My daughter, I think it's still in a box in our attic right now, but that's like a collectible. That's a big deal. And you had one when you were a kid, too, I believe, right?
Well, you know what, Phil? You know, I'm a new grandmother, but my sister had one.
Okay.
And our daughters had one. And so, like you, I have a picture of my husband walking our youngest. I mean, we took a special trip to Atlanta to the now closed store to walk in and let her pick out her very first American Girl doll. You're right. This is a big deal. And when I saw the story last week, Megan Bashan had tweeted about it, and then I began to dig in. I thought, you have got to be kidding me. Of all the things that they're taking on now, the American Girl doll and the very popular Smart Girls guidebook that all moms that I know use to talk to our girls about stuff.
Yeah.
And it's gone woke.
Well, it's gone way woke, and it's not like this is a thing that we're concerned could happen. This has happened. So, the American Girl doll, when your little girl had one and when my daughter had one, it was sort of wholesome. It sort of gave you something that you felt like you were providing your child that gave them more about character and more about patriotism and more about history because they had these period correct clothes you could get and different things. And yet now we've got a book that goes along with it that talks to them about how to be gender fluid. Am I correct?
Yeah, you are, and you're exactly right. I mean, do you remember when your daughter would have play dates? Like our girls, they're 23, 21, and the youngest is 16 this weekend. They would have play dates, make sure that their girls, you know, were dressed in the right clothes because they were going to play. The whole play was based around what they had on that day, the books that they'd bring with them, and to find, you're right, something that wholesome that suddenly we're like, was just such a solid toy that you could give,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And now that they have this horrifying book telling kids that if you have questions and you don't feel safe asking your parents about gender fluidity, here are some resources you can turn to. Now, I find this ironic because their parents were the ones who bought the book in the first place.
Yeah, no kidding.
And they're telling them, don't turn to them. Here are some trusted people you've never met, but you can trust them.
Well, I mean, the whole thing just clearly indicates, though, that it's almost like there's a rabid sense of movement in our culture right now, and it's truly from a minority. I mean, Pew Research did a study that came out and said something like less than 4% of America actually identifies as homosexual, and of those, less than 1% identify as transgender or gender fluid. And you look at it and think, you would think it's half of America, the way we're seeing our culture being shifted, but there's a purposeful and intentional overreach on their part right now, which is going into every facet of our society, it seems like.
You're absolutely right. And I finished on the recommendation of Pat Ellis, a book called Irreversible Damage. Abigail Schreier wrote it, and it is fantastic about the transgender craze that's seducing our daughters. And you're right. Do you realize, just to go along with what you're saying, that historically she notes that this gender dysphoria afflicted a tiny sliver of the population, roughly 0.01%, and almost exclusively boys. And so we went in 2012 from not having any information about this at all to suddenly it's even come down to something that, you know, in my idea, in my mind, is an American institution, something like the American Girl doll. It's not safe anymore. So you're right. And it is very frenzied, and you feel weird. Like, even as a parent, you think, am I the only one that I think, is this everywhere? And it's not. It is the same as it would, you know, with other issues in our culture right now, that it's a small, vocal group of people that are relentless, which is why we have to turn right back around and be equally and more powerful in pushing back against this, because it is so dangerous.
Well, you're absolutely right. And I say on the show all the time that there's always a way, there's always a meeting where someone you can get, if you want to get active, you can get active. And I love the fact that in the piece you wrote for 1819 News that came out on the 10th, which I think was Friday, your piece, one of the things you sort of get towards the end of your conclusion, and you say, what can we do? First, raise your voice. Reach out through social media or snail mail to the company. I mean, make yourself be heard, I guess, is what you're saying. And I think that's a piece that there are times when on the left, they get so avaricious, and they start trying to, the cancel culture aspect and the doxing and everything else, that conservatives sit quietly too often, but that can't keep happening.
It really can't. And, you know, and that's one of the things that when we're dealing with an insane culture, it is easy to feel like there's no hope. There's nothing we can do, but that's antithetical to the gospel, because there's always hope. First of all, there's hope in the Lord, right?
Right.
But then that means that as believers, it says in the New Testament, because we have such a great hope, we are very bold. And so I learned through my grandmother, my mother, and my mother-in-law, they would regularly, especially now, even my mother-in-law, I love this about her, if she has a problem with a company, she'll write them a letter. And I think, oh my gosh, the genius of writing the letter. If you don't want to write a letter, send an email. Or if you'd like to leave a message for somebody, it is so easy to get in touch with people these days. And just let them know that you're dissatisfied, you're not going to be purchasing their product anymore, you know, ask questions. But it's a very simple thing to do. It's intimidating the first time you do it, and then it becomes easier and easier to do it.
It does, and I'll be honest with you. You know, my wife, I think you've met my wife, Charlene, at some point, but she will still, I mean, like, one of hers is she'll email the White House, and you think about, okay, is anybody really reading that? She doesn't care. She's putting it in writing. And that the important part to her, it's somewhat cathartic. Yeah, it's a little bit cathartic for her to be able to put it in writing. But secondly, she's of the belief that someone is going to read this. Someone's going to know that Charlene Williams from Alabama said, that ain't right. And so she does. I think that we ought to have more people doing that. But then there's ways to also get involved. I mean, I think one of the things that people miss so often is this, the very idea of speaking out at a school board meeting, how important that is, or for that matter, running for local office, and how important that is. And we've got to have conservatives, not just Republicans, but conservatives taking these stands these days.
You're exactly right, and you know it best of all, that we cannot sit on the sideline. The Bible is not a book that is apathetic toward culture. The Lord constantly had his people in the Old and New Testament doing things that caused them to completely rely on him, but still go straight into the battle. We are not we're not saved to sit and soak, right? We're saved to soak in the Word of God, which is our fuel to go then into the battle. And so it is the little things. If you want to go to a school board meeting, understand. And I think you know this because you're a lawyer. You have been in politics. You understand this. But people are not going to like you for standing, you know, tall. they're not going to be your friend. They may exclude you from your friend group when they find out how you really feel. That is okay. What is important is to take a principled stand on issues that you think, I must speak out about this. So run for office, speak out at the school board meeting, or the next time somebody has like a gathering down at the Capitol, for example, like Eagle Forum will have their legislative days. Go down, observe, watch the process, see how it works, befriend your leaders so that when you do send the letter, you're thinking, oh, wait, I met them 2 weeks ago and I'm really concerned about this. They're going to listen to you. But it's just taking the time to decide now is the time for action, like right now. Decide where you're going to act and then do it.
Yeah. I mean, literally, if you look at the apostles of the New Testament, the only one who really had a resume prior to becoming effective for the Lord was Paul, and he wasn't even one of the original 12. And all the rest of them were just common dudes. I mean, they were just guys who you know, did pretty much, you know, the basics of life, and then all of a sudden there they were. I think your message is spot on. And I appreciate you writing that piece this last Friday. It's on 1819 News, folks. Y'all can see it there. Amy Beth, thank you so much for your time today.
Hey, thanks so much for having me on. I appreciate it. You have an awesome show, and you do great work, and we appreciate you.
All right. Well, thanks, Amy Beth Shaver. We appreciate you, and y'all can find her and her podcast at 1819news.com. All right. Well, Boomer, let's go ahead and take a break, brother. We'll do that right now. We'll come right back, and we're jumping into Adventures in Woke World. Oh, yeah. I got some good ones. You're going to want to hear it. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.